19. Murder in the headlines. Modo dressed in the fine threaded clothes Tharpa had selected for him, and spent part of the morning in the turret of the house. There was a circular table in the centre. The curved walls were lined with complicated bookshelves stuffed with hundreds of books. A quiet male servant fetched toast and an egg. Modo pulled up a chair to the table to eat and read. In a short while, he heard a footstep on the floor, and, by the weight, guessed the intruder. "Tharpa," he said, "what have you brought me?" A paper dropped on the table. "Sahib would like you to read this." As quietly as Tharpa had entered, he was gone. Modo wiped the ooze from his eyes with a handkerchief, paying special attention to the one that Hakandottir had poked. His head still ached, his rib too. He looked at the paper. On the front page was an illustration of a broken window in the Parliament buildings. The headline read, "War Secretary Falls to Death, Son Injured. Horatio Featherstone, 13th Duke of Somerset and current War Secretary, has been murdered this very morning, allegedly at the hands of his own son. Witnesses spoke of hearing a crash, and others saw His Grace fall 3 stories from a window to his death. His son, who fell out the window with him, survived. There is talk of a confrontation between the two. More details will follow in tomorrow's paper." Modo set the paper down. "Duke Featherstone murdered by his own son?" The door opened, and Mr. Socrates entered, carrying an alligator skin satchel. "You have read the article, I assume?"
"Yes, Mr. Socrates. It's a shame we didn't know his intentions. I could have stopped him.
But that is the thing. We didn't gather our information quickly enough. I have failed the War Secretary. Featherstone was a good man."
"But why would his son do this?"
Mr. Socrates sat down at the table.
"My guess is that Hakandottir and Fur have somehow manipulated the minds of these young men. But this is beyond any mind-control methods I know of. We are searching for others on that list. However, it seems they have vanished, including Prince Albert."
"Vanished?"
Mr. Socrates shrugged.
"We must assume they are as dangerous as young Featherstone. The prince is the queen's grandson, and, as you can imagine, this has caused some consternation. But I have other men searching for him. At this point we should concern ourselves with the one man we have in custody. By all accounts, Oscar Featherstone had no sympathies for our enemies. Our sources are telling us interesting things. The newspaper does not mention, for example, that he was discovered with a gun, nor that there was a paper with that odd triangle insignia upon his person. With the words, 'The game begins, the forgotten shall rise,' written on it in his handwriting."
"What game?" Modo asked.
"It appears to be an announcement. They are taunting us. And, judging by their technology and methods, this is a formidable enemy. Young Mr. Featherstone has, willingly or unwillingly, become part of their plans."
"Where is he now?"
"At the Tower of London, which is why I'm here. Have you remembered any of the other names on that list?"
"No,"
Modo said.
I'm sorry."
"Don't worry. How are you mending?"
"I'm just a little under the weather, sir,"
he lied.
"Well, I am afraid this is all the rest I can afford to give you just now. I need you to use your metamorphic skills, and we must act quickly."
Mr. Socrates produced a highly rendered portrait from his satchel. It was a beefeater posing in his uniform. "You need to take the form of this man. He is Jonathan York, the sergeant-at-arms at the Tower of London. This will allow you to talk directly to Oscar Featherstone."
"But can't you arrange to talk to him yourself?"
Mr. Socrates laughed.
"Ah, no. The association I belong to is so secret, few in the government itself even know that we exist. The Queen has a suspicion, Prime Minister Gladstone too. But it's better for them if they don't know too much."
"Does our association have a name?"
Mr. Socrates let a small grin curve his lips.
"Yes."
"I see. It's secret."
"The less you know, the better." He took a step away from the table. Anyway, tonight the real Mr. York will be sleeping at home right through his shift. We have arranged for that. You will take his place at the tower. After he left, Modo breathed deeply. Every inch of his body ached. Now he must force himself into another shape. The only thing worse than the pain of that effort would be his failure to complete the assignment.